Book 5, Chapter 3, How the Sedition Was Again Revived Within Jerusalem, and Yet the Jews Contrived Snares for the Romans. How Titus Also Threatened His Soldiers for Their Ungovernable Rashness. 1. As now the war abroad ceased for a while, the sedition within was revived. And on the feast of unleavened bread, which was now come, it being the 14th day of the month Xanthicus, Nisan, when it is believed the Jews were first freed from the Egyptians, Eleazar and his party opened the gates of this inmost court of the temple, and admitted such of the people as were desirous to worship God into it. Footnote. Here we see the true occasion of those vast numbers of Jews that were in Jerusalem during this siege by Titus, and perished therein. That the siege began at the feast of the Passover, when such prodigious multitudes of Jews and proselytes of the gate were come from all parts of Judea, and from all other countries, in order to celebrate that great festival. Tacitus himself informs us that the number of men, women, and children in Jerusalem, when it was besieged by the Romans, as he had been informed. This information must have been taken from the Romans, for Josephus never recounts the numbers of those that were besieged. Only he lets us know that of the vulgar, carried dead out of the gates and buried at the public charges, was the like number of 600,000. However, when Cestius Gallus came first to the siege, that sum in Tacitus is no way disagreeable to Josephus' history, though they were become much more numerous when Titus encompassed the city at the Passover. As to the number that perished during this siege, Josephus assures us, as we shall see hereafter, they were 1,100,000, besides 97,000 captives. But Tacitus' history of the last part of this siege is not now extant, so we cannot compare his parallel numbers with those of Josephus. End footnote. But John made use of this festival as a cloak for his treacherous designs, and armed the most inconsiderable of his own party, the greater part of whom were not purified, with weapons concealed under their garments, and sent them with great zeal into the temple, in order to seize upon it. Which armed men, when they were gotten in, threw their garments away, and presently appeared in their armor, upon which there was a very great disorder and disturbance about the holy house. While the people, who had no concern in the sedition, supposed that this assault was made against all without distinction, as the zealots thought it was made against themselves only. So these left off guarding the gates any longer, and leaped down from their battlements before they came to an engagement, and fled away into the subterranean caverns of the temple. While the people that stood trembling at the altar and about the holy house were rolled on heaps together and trampled upon, and were beaten both with wooden and with iron weapons without mercy. Such also as had differences with others slew many persons that were quiet, out of their own private enmity and hatred, as if they were opposite to the seditious. And all those that had formerly offended any of these plotters were now known, and were now led away to the slaughter. And when they had done abundance of horrid mischief to the guiltless, they granted a truce to the guilty, and let those go off that came out of the caverns. These followers of John also did now seize upon this inner temple, and upon all the warlike engines therein, and then ventured to oppose Simon. And thus that sedition, which had been divided into three factions, was now reduced to two. But Titus, intending to pitch his camp nearer to the city than Scopas, placed as many of his choice horsemen and footmen as he thought sufficient opposite to the Jews, to prevent their sallying out upon them, while he gave orders for the whole army to level the distance as far as the wall of the city. So they threw down all the hedges and walls which the inhabitants had made about their gardens and groves of trees, and cut down all the fruit trees that lay between them and the wall of the city, and filled up all the hollow places and the chasms, and demolished the rocky precipices with iron instruments, and thereby made all the place level from Scopas to Herod's monuments, which adjoined to the pool called the Serpent's Pool. 3. Now at this very time the Jews contrived the following stratagem against the Romans. The bolder sort of the seditious went out at the towers, called the women's towers, as if they had been ejected out of the city by those who were for peace, and rambled about as if they were afraid of being assaulted by the Romans, and were in fear of one another. While those that stood upon the wall, and seemed to be of the people's side, cried out aloud for peace, and entreated they might have security for their lives given them, and called for the Romans, promising to open the gates to them. And as they cried out after that manner, they threw stones at their own people, as though they would drive them away from the gates. These also pretended that they were excluded by force, and that they petitioned those who were within to let them in. And rushing upon the Romans perpetually with violence, they then came back and seemed to be in great disorder. Now the Roman soldiers thought this cunning stratagem of theirs was to be believed real, and thinking they had the one party under their power, and could punish them as they pleased, and hoping that the other party would open their gates to them, set to the execution of their designs accordingly. But for Titus himself, he had this surprising conduct of the Jews in suspicion. For whereas he had invited them to come to terms of accommodation by Josephus, but one day before, he could then receive no civil answer from them. So he ordered the soldiers to stay where they were. However, some of them that were set in the front of the works prevented him, and catching up their arms, ran to the gates. Whereupon those that seemed to have been ejected at the first retired, but as soon as the soldiers were gotten between the towers on each side of the gate, the Jews ran out and encompassed them round and fell upon them behind, while that multitude which stood upon the wall threw a heap of stones and darts of all kinds at them, insomuch that they slew a considerable number and wounded many more. For it was not easy for the Romans to escape, by reason those behind them pressed them forward, besides which the shame they were under for being mistaken, and the fear they were in of their commanders, engaged them to persevere in their mistake. Wherefore they fought with their spears a great while, and received many blows from the Jews, though indeed they gave them as many blows again, and at last repelled those that had encompassed them about, while the Jews pursued them as they retired, and followed them, and threw darts at them as far as the monuments of Queen Helena. 4. After this, these Jews, without keeping any decorum, grew insolent upon their good fortune, and jested upon the Romans for being deluded by the trick they had put upon them, and making a noise with beating their shields, leaped for gladness, and made joyful exclamations, while these soldiers were received with threatenings by their officers, and with indignation by Caesar himself, who spake to them thus: "These Jews, who are only conducted by their madness, do everything with care and circumspection. They contrive stratagems and lay ambushes, and fortune gives success to their stratagems, because they are obedient and preserve their goodwill and fidelity to one another. While the Romans, to whom fortune uses to be ever subservient, by reason of their good order, and ready submission to their commanders, have now had ill success by their contrary behavior, and by not being able to restrain their hands from action. They have been caught, and that which is the most to their reproach, they have gone on without their commanders in the very presence of Caesar. Truly, says Titus, the laws of war cannot but groan heavily, as will my father also himself, when he shall be informed of this wound that has been given us, since he who has grown old in wars did never make so great a mistake. Our laws of war do also ever inflict capital punishment on those that in the least break into good order, while at this time they have seen an entire army run into disorder. However, those that have been so insolent shall be made immediately sensible that even they who conquer among the Romans without orders for fighting are to be under disgrace." When Titus had enlarged upon this matter before the commanders, it appeared evident that he would execute the law against all those that were concerned. So these soldiers' minds sunk down in despair, as expecting to be put to death, and that justly and quickly. However, the other legions came round about Titus, and entreated his favor to these their fellow soldiers, and made supplication to him that he would pardon the rashness of a few, on account of the better obedience of all the rest, and promised for them that they should make amends for their present fault by their more virtuous behavior for the time to come. 5. So Caesar complied with their desires, and with what prudence dictated to him also, for he esteemed it fit to punish single persons by real executions, but that the punishment of great multitudes should proceed no further than reproofs. So he was reconciled to the soldiers, but gave them a special charge to act more wisely for the future. And he considered with himself how he might be even with the Jews for their stratagem. And now, when the space between the Romans and the wall had been leveled, which was done in 4 days, and as he was desirous to bring the baggage of the army with the rest of the multitude that followed him safely to the camp, he set the strongest part of his army over against that wall which lay on the north quarter of the city, and over against the western part of it, and made his army 7 deep, with the footmen placed before them and the horsemen behind them, each of the last in 3 ranks, whilst the archers stood in the midst in 7 ranks. And now, as the Jews were prohibited by so great a body of men from making sallies upon the Romans, both the beasts that bear the burdens and belong to the 3 legions, and the rest of the multitude marched on without any fear. But as for Titus himself, he was but about 2 furlongs distant from the wall, at that part of it where was the corner. Footnote. Perhaps, says Dr. Hudson, here was that gate called the Gate of the Corner in 2 Chronicles 26:9. End footnote. And over against that tower, which was called Cephinus, at which tower the compass of the wall belonging to the north bended and extended itself over against the west, but the other part of the army fortified itself at the tower called Hippicus, and was distant in like manner by 2 furlongs from the city. However, the 10th legion continued in its own place upon the Mount of Olives.